We have all asked the question from time to time, what time is it? Typically, all we want is a straightforward answer so we can mentally mark what part of the day that we're in. What time is it right now? It's 11:45. Ah! They said, well, she needs to hurry up then, don't she? It's according to where you're going and what you got on your agenda. It's according to what you planned before you got here. But it's something that we ask ourselves all the time. It's a throwaway question with a throwaway answer, for as soon as we know it, the answer becomes meaningless because time marches on. You see, minutes into hours, hours into days, days into weeks, and so on and so on and so on into years. To baby boomers and moderns and millennials and Gen Xers and most all of the world, time is our servant and we are its masters. Can the witness of faith, however, contribute a renewed understanding of how we relate to God through each and every day? Today's text from Matthew's Gospel stands at a forefront of a host of others that proclaims a finite creation, a message of limited time. That claim may sound very simplistic to us, even a bit passé to our postmodern minds. We say, what are they talking about? But as a pastor, I have seen people get very upset about scriptures with such an apocalyptic time frame and nature about them. People get all beside themselves about the book of Revelation. They get all beside themselves about the book of Daniel. There's lots of things that talk about the end of time. And when we hear those passages that are stuck in from time to time, just like it is here in Matthew's Gospel today, we hear people that get upset and they say, well, we got to get it together. But why does it upset us? In other words, the doctrine of last things, end times, our culture has been inundated with any number of those pseudo-scholarly people writing or pulp fiction novels based on the end of times. Movies are made about it. Books are written about it. TV series are done about it all the time. The end of times. You're trying to scare people. The thing about it is, though, it's easy for us to succumb to that, to get so fear, to be filled up with those images of the end of time when we look at this passage here today, because we can focus too much on the actions that Jesus describes. What does it mean that our generation will be like Noah's, that we will be unaware of the impending flood, living life to its fullest, ignorant of the impending doom? What does it mean that two workers are in a field, will be plowing, sowing seeds or harvesting, and one will be taken away? What does it mean that two women will be grinding grain at the meal house or breaking bread at home, and one will be taken away? You see, you and I can miss the point if we are not ready. What is Jesus proclaiming here to you and I today? These images that Christ uses are literary images designed to highlight a truth rather than describe a reality. A truth. The truth of the text, indeed, its claim is twofold. God, not us, is in control of time. And we need to remember that. God, not us, is in control of time. And we should always be expecting Christ's return. We should be ready. It says Jesus' words warn us not to get too comfortable in this old world that we live in. For God has decided that Jesus' work is unfinished. And to this point, let us take a minute and look at this passage without reading verses 37 through 41. Let's read verses 36, and then let's read verses 42 through 44. It says, but about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. And then if we go over to verse 42, what do we find? We skip all those things and it says, keep awake. Therefore, for you do not know on what day our Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake. He'd have been ready. He'd have been there when that person broke into his house. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. You see, by setting aside those verses for just a moment, there's absolutely no break in thought between what Jesus introduces as the subject of God's time in verse 36 and the beginning of His warning in verse 42. If we add in the images of the intervening verses that we have just left out, they properly serve their function of alerting us and getting our attention and pointing us to the larger truth of the text that we have today. You see, during this Advent time, the church can find a new understanding to the world of the nature of time by proclaiming that God is in control of our days and Christ is coming soon. You know, we need to know that. We know it somewhere in our head. Oh yeah, sure, we know that. We know God's in control. We know that Christ is coming soon, but we don't worry about it a whole lot, do we? People don't think about it always. It's not always on their mind. To those hearers who maintain that time is their servant and that they control their destiny, that's a threatening revelation that tries to subvert or to change our understanding. Such a word can bring down kingdoms. To those hearers, however, who became, because of their suffering, their injustice, and despair, look to God for a new vision of reality, that's a comforting assurance for them that's left them up for bondage, that lifts them up from their bondage each and every day. Indeed, such a word heralds a new kingdom. And for you and I today, we need to let go of those images of being afraid, and we need to let ourselves just love the Lord and let Him come into our hearts and our minds and our beings. Let Him control us. He's in control, not us. We think we are from time to time. We like to think that we know so much better than anyone else. But God's in control. It says, let our prayer be that of the early church. And the early church always said, come, Lord Jesus, come. This Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. We have sang, come, thou long-expected Jesus. We've sang, come, come, Emmanuel. All the things, we're waiting for the coming of the Lord once again to be born into this world as a baby and for that new beginning to come. We hear it throughout God's Word. We see it in the world around us on every corner. Come, come. You know, we have people getting more upset about ridiculous things. There was a few football games yesterday that got people upset. I was rather happy with one of them and also rather shocked because we have a pitiful team, but they won. Another one was played somewhere around those Alabama people. Auburn beat Bama. The world, it did not come to an end. It did not happen. It's one of those things, Alabama doesn't like to lose. They've not lost a whole lot. They're pretty good at winning. They've been winning for years. They've won all kinds of titles. But they had 13 penalties in a game where they never have hardly won because it never gets called on them. And Auburn guy took the ball from the other end of the field all the way to the other one, made a touchdown, and nobody was behind him but his own teammates because Alabama was standing at the end wondering what in the world just happened. Because that's what people get excited about. We get more people excited about a ball game on a rainy day. They was crazy people sitting out watching that State Carolina game yesterday. They're nuts in the rain. I'm sorry, there's something wrong with your head. I don't care how big a fan you are. I mean, they just, why do we do such things? Yet people will tell me, I just don't feel good. And you know, I just can't get up and get to church, Miss Belinda. It's just, you know, I said, it's 10 o'clock for Sunday school and 11 for worship. What time do you go to work? This past week, we had something called Black Friday, right after Thanksgiving. All of a sudden, it's become a commercialized world we live in. Just as soon as people get through with Thanksgiving, what do? They gather as family and friends and they go play around in shopping malls and stores and waiting for somebody to open a door at a particular time so that they can rush in or that they can go eat breakfast at 4 o'clock in the morning or something, I don't know. And they're putting all their pictures on Facebook and they're so cute. And look what wonderful time we got and had. And I thought, wow, great. But they say, I can't get up and come. I said, but you were buying something at 4 o'clock in the morning at some store, but you can't get up and come. You can't get up and do something, or you can't make it because you're too busy. Or the weather's not right, or it's just ugly. But yet you can pay a bunch of money to go sit in the rain and watch a football game. There's things that we have come in this world to say, we do what we want to do. I've always said that. I've said that ever since. We do what we want to do. What time is it? It says, what time is it? Is it time to get serious about loving God? Is it time to get serious? I said, well, you know, I can love God at the football game. I said, well, what? Some of the things I hear, you're not loving God a whole lot. You need to be careful because there are people around you hearing all that stuff that you're saying and it's coming out of your mouth. And if it's come out of your mouth, it's already somewhere in your thoughts and your mind and your spirit, and you just let it fly out. So all of a sudden, things change. But yet, most people are pretty good down deep. You know, they're pretty good folks. But when was the last time they took the time? Whether they come every Sunday is not that important. But whether they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, are they ready when that time comes? Are they ready? There's things going on in this world all the time. Are you ready? You know, people go to bed every night and not knowing that you're going to wake up the next morning. Are you ready? There's people that get in a car every day and go somewhere, a vehicle of some description. And let me tell you something, people. We put ourselves out there in the midst of what? A bunch of crazy people. And some of y'all might be some of them crazy drivers. I don't know. But we do, and we see accidents almost happen all the time because people are not paying attention. But are they ready to know what's going to happen? You know, your life can change in a minute, in an instant. It can be gone, or it can be totally altered. About 8 weeks ago, my aunt and my first cousin were in a car wreck. And my aunt had several surgeries, but she lost her leg. And she might not ever walk again because somebody had one of these things and they were going down the highway, not paying attention. And they crossed lines of traffic and they hit her almost head on, and she was completely off the road into the ditch trying to not be hit because she saw it. They saw it coming. Her life changed. She did not start out that day thinking that by the end of this evening, I'm going to have several surgeries, and by tomorrow, they're going to take my leg off around the knee, and I might not ever be able to walk again. Don't know. You know, are we ready? People, I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I want us to live in this world like we love the Lord. I want us to go to a ball game and have fun like we love the Lord. I want us to sit home and enjoy each other's company like you love the Lord. I want you to be out with your family and friends like you have this week, gathering together with meals. And several of you went to several different places or people came to your house and you had a good time. And you enjoyed that time together. And you enjoyed being with other people. But are you ready? You know, we need to think about that once in a while because so many times we say, oh, it's not going to be like that. The Lord is a good God. He's a loving God. But let me tell you something, people. It tells us our God is a good God. He's a loving God. He's a just God. But He's also a judging God. And that is His doing, not ours. And He takes care of that. He is in charge of time. He's the one that tells us when and what is going on. So we need to be ready, no matter where we are, no matter how old we are, how young we are. We need to get it together. We need to get it right. We need to talk to God. And we need to invite our Lord and Savior into our life to live there and to share it with us. Let us pray. Lord,